Could that also be an argument as to why it is important to keep the court safeguards? In other words, if you're limiting someone's right to defend themselves, say the Guantanamo prisoners, how do you know you're going to really get the truth out of these people? I mean, in an extreme case is if you're torturing people, well, what's most obvious about torture is someone being tortured will say whatever you want them to say.
I would, yeah.
You know, whether it's right or wrong, if they think you want to hear X, Y, or Z, that's what they're going to say. It seems to me that that's also a reason why we want to keep courts with all their responsibilities intact, to really get at the truth instead of get at some railroaded version of the truth, which might not help at all in getting people that we need to get.
Right. Well, I mean, the Guantanamo situation you describe is the most ridiculous, because it doesn't, there's no pretense. In the military order, the original military order that the president signed, I felt like I was on another planet, because you didn't necessarily have the right to a lawyer. It wasn't clear that, you know, you could face the death penalty by a majority vote of judges. You know, secret evidence gets used against you. You don't have, you know, a right to rebut your accuser. I mean, all of the stuff that we sort of take as not just your basic garden variety rights, but as the only way you can find the truth. That stuff was missing. And like, you know, what you say with torture, the more you use secret evidence, the more you deny due process, what we call due process, the less credible your result is. You know, we're certainly finding that with a lot of death penalty cases where, you know, it's okay for your lawyer to sleep through your case. Oh, yeah, you're going to have really effective counsel then, you know. Oh, yeah, you should be put to death because, you know, if you're a lawyer. Though the more that we, the U.S., do those kinds of things, the less credibility we have internationally. And it seems to me that in this kind of situation where you want to catch people who did something wrong and you want to prove that they did something, you know, you want to prove to the world that you got the right folks, you want to make sure that you got, you know, you've given those folks the best opportunity to prove themselves innocent so that when you prove them guilty, everybody says, good, I'm glad you got them, you know, as opposed to, we'll never know, which is what you got, you know, with those that military commission and arguably what may happen in Guantanamo. Although I have to say that there's been a lot of pressure both from the U.S. military and CIA and other folks on the U.S. government to get its act together, because they're worried that if the U.S. gets away with setting up something like that, that the U.S. could face, U.S. military could face something like that down the road. And I think that's an accurate fear. But even domestically, you know, when you're not talking about people who were accused of having anything to do with September 11, the courts are getting increasingly cut out of the process. And I've got a lot of experience with the coalition, the National Coalition to Protect Political Freedom. About a couple dozen people the U.S. tried to deport over the last 4 or 5 years. And it wanted to deport them using secret evidence, which was evidence that neither they nor their lawyer could see. And they said, we have the right to do this because you're immigrants. We have the right to do this because it's just a deportation and not a criminal proceeding. And we argued back, people who are in the United States have constitutional rights. You don't have to be a citizen to have constitutional rights. It doesn't say we, the citizens of the United States. It says we, the people of the United States. And that is every living body in the United States has those rights. And if you, especially where you're talking about people, and a number of these folks were people who made claims that they would be tortured or killed if they were sent back to a home country, a deportation proceeding was not something that should be viewed by the U.S. government as some just mild, minor legal proceeding. It was arguably a life or death situation. And we found, as early on in these cases, even when we got the best lawyers to deal with those to argue those cases, they were completely unable to rebut, to defend against this secret evidence. They just couldn't see it. There was nothing there. It was like fighting clouds.
So what is the secret evidence? Say I'm charged with secret evidence. How do I interact with it? Do I ever find out what I'm being charged with, or on what basis? Does anyone ever find out what the government claims I've done wrong?
Well, sometimes they give you what they called an unclassified summary, and what the first unclassified summary that most of these guys got was, we believe you're a member of a terrorist group. They often didn't even mention the name of the terrorist group they were supposed to be a member of. You know, no, that was fighting clouds. After working these cases through the courts and a number of judges getting really angry, some of them saw the secret evidence and said, this is hooey, this ain't, you know, there's no national security threat here. You can release some of this stuff. And, you know, and we put a lot of pressure on the Justice Department and the INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, and these cases. And the government ended up releasing a lot of what had earlier been secret evidence. So we got to see, so what is this, you know, national security stuff? And by and large, it was, well, there were two things. By and large, it was nothing that to anybody's way of thinking should have been national security. You know, for one guy it was, you know, we have information that you made a phone call to some guy who was convicted of the World Trade Center, the first World Trade Center bombing. Well, you know, and that phone call was made to your house on this date, and he could say, and he then said, after seeing this evidence, he said, I didn't live there then. I moved there, you know, like 9 months later, and we got the phone transcripts from that World Trade Center case, and the expert who had testified about that looked at the transcripts and said, that guy didn't call that house even on that date, not to mention he never called this guy at any date at any of the places he lived or his brother lived or his work or anything, or a payphone right near, you know, near where he lived. So, you know, A, it wasn't, you know, there was nothing, it was in public information that the government had the phone records on these guys that got convicted. And B, it was garbage. And once you could see it, you could say, I didn't live there. I didn't call that guy, and here's my phone records, you know, as proof. So the government, when it can't, when it doesn't allow this information out into the air, it can't tell that it's wrong, you know. And it's not, so it's not just that the person can't defend themselves. It may think it's got good information, but without being able to just air it and you know, work it out in the courts, you end up with garbage.
It's like fact checking it.
Yeah, it's not. You know, they tend to use when you can keep a bunch of information secret. You tend to just, you know, whatever's under the rug, you just, you know, all the rug sweepings get, you know, tossed into the pile, and that's your national security stuff. You know, it was not an impressive display by the government, and, you know, and we did end up with a bunch of judges at the end of that process really angry at the government for overstepping its bounds, for saying, and we had, you know, members of Congress said the same kind of thing. Barney Frank said, you know, I was willing to give the government the benefit of the doubt that it needed these kind of rights. And it's had 3 years now to show me that it really had to have these extraordinary rights. And what it's proved to me is that it's abused them.